The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome or welcome back, as the case may be. It is Wednesday, May 5th. It is our third and final hour together. What will we make of it? Well, we get to go straight into the halls of Congress to examine, I guess, the key thing going on, congressionally speaking, in terms of the back and forth of the power struggle. The future of the Republican Party is a big deal. The GOP future, the best way forward. And Lord knows there's all kinds of, you know, opinions within the tent of the Republican Party on how, you know, how much to affix ourselves to the Trump legacy. Do we need him exactly back in 24, or somebody who's really kind of like him, like a DeSantis or somebody else, maybe just whatever. That's a debate that can move forward. What is the place, and is it a disqualifier if you simply are an out-and-out Trump hater? Mitt Romney gets almost booed off the stage at the Utah GOP event the other day. Liz Cheney is trying to hang on to her third-ranking position in the Republican leadership behind only Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise. Then you get to her, and she hates Trump's guts. Is that a problem? I would suggest that it is. So, gathering some opinion on this, let's head to the North Texas Congressional Delegation, the 5th District of Texas, and its Representative Lance Gooden. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm even better this morning. We're one step closer to new leadership.
Well, let's go straight to it. What exactly is going on? What might change in this story today?
Well, let's go back to February. In February, there were a lot of your listeners were probably annoyed with Kevin McCarthy because he came out for Liz Cheney. The reason he did that was because that was the same day that we were voting to keep Marjorie Taylor Greene on her committees while Nancy Pelosi was stripping them. And his belief was it was bad optics to go against Liz Cheney while going for Marjorie Taylor Greene. And so his thought was, I'm going to just go for both of them, and we're going to give Liz another chance. And I was I didn't agree with that, but I thought, you know what, let's give her a chance. We're all about second chances, and so we gave her a chance. And you know, the other problem we had is we didn't have a viable alternative. There was really no one who was stepping up to take Liz's place, and it was kind of unorganized. And it was fresh off of swearing in. We also had a lot of new freshman members who were a little jittery about throwing out or coming out against Liz Cheney. So fast forward to now, people have watched what's happened since February. Yes, she hates Trump's guts, but frankly, I don't care what anybody thinks. If they're in leadership, though, they've got to keep their mouth shut when it comes to criticizing the leader of our party, which is President Trump. Had she just done that, we probably would have been okay with it. We all knew she didn't like President Trump, but if she was on board with winning back the majority and staying focused on the goal, we'd be fine with it. But she wasn't. Every day she's awakened since February, she has felt empowered since that vote that she won, not because of her, but because of Kevin McCarthy giving her second chance. She has continued to just poke us all in the eye and call us fools for supporting President Trump and the America First agenda.
And that's the most important thing is her gripe against Trump. She can have whatever gripe against anybody she wants, but the insult delivered to 75 million people with the level of this
every
event.
Every day.
Without, she's doubling and tripling down. So, and you have to compartmentalize, because I've loved her for a long time. Love her, love her dad, love her mom, love the family, got nothing against her till now. And so there's nothing personal about this. The only question is Trump hatred compatible with GOP leadership? That answer to me is no. Seems like you have the same answer. So what happens moving forward now?
Yeah, and I would even say that answer is no, especially if it makes you crazy. And I think that she has been succumbed to Trump derangement syndrome. Another problem you've got is you've got about these 10 House members that voted for impeachment. They are hearing about it in their district nonstop. So their lives are impeachment to this day. Mm-hmm. Whereas I come back home, my constituents aren't talking about impeachment. We've all moved on. We are ready to take back the House majority, take back our government from the Democrats. But these members that voted for impeachment, they're still hearing about it from their constituents who are mad that they voted against them. And so these members that are supporting Liz, there's so few of them now. They keep saying, well, this is because of impeachment. This is because you all don't appreciate her telling the truth as she sees it. XYZ, ridiculous, ridiculous. But this isn't about impeachment anymore. This is about leading. She's not doing it. She's continuing to tell the rest of us we're fools. She's making herself a spectacle, and we're all looking foolish for continuing to let her lead us. And so Elise Stefanik out of New York, you remember her from the Intel Committee.
Love her.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, I will say some of your listeners will probably say she's not conservative enough based on her voting record. But again, it goes back to if you vote a certain way based on the district you represent, fine. But don't tell the rest of us we're all fools for voting the way we vote, which is what Liz
did. Elise is a New York Republican, and at the moment of her ascendancy, she was kind of a center-right New York Republican. And as I saw happen to a lot of people, Trump made her more conservative, showed her a path toward a more muscular, unapologetic conservatism, and that's where she is now. So I'm not as concerned about Elise Stefanik 4 years ago. I'm no more worried about that. And I am about Liz Cheney 4 years ago. It's what are you doing now?
Right.
And it doesn't look opportunistic. I believe her. I think she's been a strong voice for a long time. Let me ask, is there anybody else? What room got together and said it needed to be her? Go ahead.
So there were a few other names that were floated this past week, but the field was cleared yesterday. McCarthy and Scalise have been making phone calls. They talked the others out of running that were talking about it, and it is now all at least. She'll be elected conference chair probably Wednesday of next week. We're all back in D.C. on Tuesday. We have a meeting Wednesday, and the Liz Cheney leadership position will be no more as of a week from today.
Golly Moses. Okay, and that is a vote taken among every House Republican, correct?
Among every House Republican. I wish it was public. I don't know that we'll get a public vote, but I'll be real honest. I think I can't imagine more than 20 people out of 200 plus voting to save Liz Cheney at this point. She's not even whipping votes. She's not making phone calls. She knows she's toast. But because she knows that, she is going to just go all out in these next 7 days. And after that, she's going to be the new Adam Kinzinger on television, the CNN, an MSNBC superstar after she loses this post. So
that's a reference. Adam Kinzinger is a reference to the wayward Illinois congressman who infuriated plenty of his base and now finds his days looking for people like Michael Wood in Texas 06 who hate Trump's guts to endorse them. Michael Wood got 3%, let the record show. So we had a closed vote, a secret vote some weeks ago, and you talked to me about the logic of Kevin McCarthy and why he chose to, quote unquote, give Liz Cheney another chance. Was that in the mind of all the Republicans who voted for her at that time? I mean, you seem really certain she's gone.
Jim Jordan, who I'm very close to, he and I were working on whipping the vote against Liz back in February. We thought we were doing pretty well, but Kevin McCarthy gave a very convincing and impassioned speech and made a case to give her another chance. I still didn't vote to give her another chance, but after we were on the losing end, we all said, you know what, let's move forward. Yeah. The focus is winning back the majority. We did what we said we'd do. We played very nice. Really, the only person that didn't keep up their end of the bargain was Liz Cheney.
Yeah. All right. So there we are. So we got 213. How many Republicans do we have now, roughly? And they will vote, and that vote will take place exactly when again?
I suspect it will happen Wednesday of next week. That's when our next conference meeting is. And by end of day Wednesday, Elise Stefanik will have replaced Liz Cheney, and this will be old news.
And those are two separate votes. One is the vote to eject Liz Cheney from the House GOP conference chairmanship, and the other one would be to replace her with Elise Stefanik, correct?
That's the way I see it, yes.
Gotcha. All right.
Correct.
All right. So, well, while I got you, what else is going on? What's keeping your days busy? What's I mean, every day with Biden is, it's like I envision it as like being in a batting cage, beating away bad ideas like every 30 seconds every day. What's filling your plate?
We are working so hard to take back the majority. We feel it, and we're trying not to be too confident and too cocky because we know that majorities are earned. They're not just given. And so we are operating as if we're underdogs, but the numbers just look so good. We've got great candidates up on the horizon. There are Democrats that realize it also. They're announcing retirements. You're seeing Nancy Pelosi governing like there's no tomorrow, because I don't think she really believes there will be another session where Democrats are in control, which is why they're going so crazy. And Republicans are just working harder than ever. I've also spent a lot of my time working to help Susan Wright win that special election. We're waiting for the election date to be set for this summer, but Susan Wright's been campaigning hard for that seat in Congress, and we're excited to have her in Washington.
Can I ask a favor? Because I've loved
sure.
I love Susan and Ron for a really long time. Can you get with her and have her stop lying about Jake Elzey, please? Those ridiculous mailers Jake Elzey, Joe Biden. I'm sorry, that's crap. That's her handlers. She's better than that.
I don't think she's put anything out like that. But
I'm sorry. Excuse me. No. People are sending me the mailers. Jake Elzey, Joe Biden, dangerous for America. People crawling over the wall. A dangerous, tatted looking MS-13 member. The Jake Elzey wants this guy in your backyard.
I'll look at him. You have my cell number. Text me.
Gladly will. She's better than that. Voters deserve better than that. She's a neat lady, and I would love to see moving forward no more of that because
wonderful.
She is. She's great. And sometimes people get in the hands of hyped up handlers, and that turns people off. Listen, speaking of materials, Lance Gooden is there at gooden.house.gov, and also the Twitter feed is at Lance Gooden. Appreciate it. You've given me something to look at here this week. We'll keep track of it. Always great to have you, Lance. God bless. Thank you.
We got a great week ahead.
Yeah, yes, we do. I love it. Thank you, man. That is Lance Gooden, Texas 5, right here on 660 AM. The Answer, 920. Stick around. Alrighty, 925-866-660-5759. As we head back to your calls on a multi-topic Wednesday, we are in Bedford. Shonda, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm good. I'm good. I've never called in to a program.
Well, this is cool. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Before. When something kind of hits you, I pulled over my car and thought I just wanted to talk to you a second.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I listen to you all the time, and very much appreciate your program and all that you share with us. But I did just have, and I'm sorry, I'm very nervous.
No, you're fine. A deep breath. It's all good. You're among friends.
Okay. I just wanted to say, you had a pretty strong response to the young man that called. I'm a grandmother of three grandchildren, but you had a pretty strong response toward a young man that called about the vaccine.
Oh, the guy who said that 50% of kids who have shots have serious health repercussions.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I respond that way when people lie to me. I do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know any statistics. Mm-hmm. I'm just a grandma. All I know is experience with what has happened in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my main point is with this issue is that, one size doesn't fit all. And with the, in my experience, just to tell you that really quick, I have three grandchildren, 15 grandson, 11 granddaughter, and then a 3.5-year-old granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the two older ones, now, mind you, we've since in the last probably 4 years found that there's a genetic disorder in our family called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's a connective tissue disorder. All these years, and they're just finding out about this disorder anyway, with, finding a lot of people that have it, that it explains a lot of the issues they have. But It's just now coming on the medical scene in the last several years here, but or last, you know, couple of years here. But anyway, the two older ones had their vaccines on the regular schedule and all that. When my grandson was two, and after he had his vaccines, he was perfectly on target. Everything was perfect. After he had those, they started noticing all these issues and everything. And then teachers had him having tested. He had Asperger's.
Okay.
Then the granddaughter had hers till 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
She started having she had extreme health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that some of the vaccines, because she had the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome that we found out recently, could that have exacerbated her problem?
What do doctors say? Is there anybody with a medical opinion on that?
They don't know enough about EDS.
Understand. So maybe because they're always when you said one size doesn't always fit all. That's the truest thing anybody can say. It is possible for a kid to have something, for an adult to have something that makes some type of medical path that's smart for almost everybody else, not smart for them. That what we need to avoid is any kind of personal experience is always real. It's real to you, real to your grandchild, whatever happened, and there may be something unique to some of those circumstances. But the thing you need to resist is taking something that happened with you, your family, or five other people, you know, and broadening that out and suggesting some vast conclusion based on millions and millions of people over generations of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, just really quick to tell you the third one,
mm-hmm.
my 3.5-year-old granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
because this genetic disorder it's a genetic disorder.
Mm-hmm.
They can't test until you're 6 years old.
Gotcha.
So until then, they said, let's not do the vaccine.
Right.
She's not had one antibiotic. She's been the healthiest kid I've ever seen.
Good for her. That's awesome.
You know, could it be? That's all I'm saying.
Could what be?
Could it be that vaccines, especially with the amount
mm-hmm.
that they give, the
right.
amount of them,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have the long-term study, especially with these,
They kind of do. I mean, people have been walking around with these suspicions for more than a generation now, and the number of reasons to believe that any of these health concerns attached to vaccines is real is zero. And your healthy 3.5-year-old who's had no antibiotics and no vaccines, that is awesome. That's fantastic. And by the way, that will happen. That will happen. And the presence of it, nobody ever says that you got to get vaccinated because if you don't, your kid will get sick. Nobody says that. So the example of a kid who's had no vaccines and is healthy proves nothing, except that's a lucky kid. And that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic.
I just wanted to state from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
if, you know, we need to keep an open mind.
But let's not have a mind that's so open that our brains fall out.
Yeah.
Open minds are great. But again, and if you find yourself in the company of people who say, I got to tell you, there's some huge secret. There's some huge, you know, demonic, sinister, dreadful big pharma thing going on here.
Yeah.
That's just a lie. It is absolute tinfoil hat nonsense. You, however, are a joy. Great grandma. Love that. I hope that all the kids remain healthy no matter what they do. And I hope you give me a buzz anytime about anything, Sean. It's been a joy to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. 9:32 into the world of news we go. And here is Gordon Griffin. Well, all righty then. Little band from Texas. Little ZZ Top. Blackfly. For our home stretch, I got to find my favorite Tammy Wynette record. Take us out. But that's 20 minutes from now. Tammy would have been 79 today. Tammy and George, man, maybe it'll be a duet. I don't know. I'll figure something out. Between then, we are figuring, and between now and then, we're figuring stuff out together. 866-660-5759. Boy, every day, I'm so grateful. Online listening, web listening, the 660 AM The Answer app. If you got Alexa or some other smart speaker, just, you know, bark at that thing. Lord knows it's listening to you. And so as long as it's going to listen to you, you might as well tell it to do something productive and say, hey, start playing saying that 6:60 a.m. the answer, and then my voice will be popping out of your smart speaker. And because of online listening, it means, I mean, what even is a local show anymore? I'm here in DFW. This is the community I serve, but folks listen all over the place. Let's roll to the Bay State. We're in Massachusetts. This is exciting. Hey, Andy, Mark Davis, how are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing great. Happy National Astronaut Day.
I heard this, and it seems like something I would know, but it kind of snuck up on me. How long has there been, like, it's weird, every day is National Astronaut Day to me, but how long has there been
right.
such a thing?
It's kind of funny, but I just read about it in the paper.
There you go. Well, I feel better. Thanks.
And I figured this is a perfect time. I listen to your show on the internet in the mornings as I'm working from home.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for your, and I'll call it a eulogy, your excellent eulogy of Mike Collins last
week. Thank you so much.
So you and I are about the same age. I am a year younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And I too grew up in love, wanted to be an astronaut, you know, followed the Man in Space program. And I figured I'd tell you about some of my encounters that I had when I was a kid and an adult. When we were kids, my dad, every couple of years, would load us up in the station wagon and would make the trip down to Miami, Florida,
mm-hmm.
To visit relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And in April of 1972, my dad managed to time it perfectly, and we stopped at Cape Canaveral to watch Apollo 16 lift off.
Guess who else was there? And I'm not making this up.
Really? Cool.
John Young, Charlie Duke, Ken Mattingly, bound for,
yep.
And here's what's great. What kind of a day was it, Andy? What was the weather like?
It was a beautiful day with
yep.
some high thin clouds.
Yep.
I think.
So the Saturn V sporting 7.5 million pounds of thrust. You see the flash, you see it rise, you hear nothing. But then as the sound slowly reaches you across the Indian River Lagoon, it just starts to rumble. And it's not, and I know you've spent, you know, 50 plus years telling people this, it's not like it's so loud where you cover your ears. It's a concussion in the air. It beats on you like you're doing a traffic report. Like, okay, wow, this is kind of wild. It's the doggone thing. The reason I mentioned the weather, because this was the way that it was made right for me, because I had badgered my parents forever, ever since, you know, before the moon landing. And they said, okay, Mark, we're going to take you and your buddy Fred Daly, and we're going to go down. This is January 1971, and we're going to go to the launch of Apollo 14, which was, the tension was high. 13 had just come back after blowing up in space. Lovell, Hayes, and Swigert were safely home. And this was time for Alan Shepard, Edgar Mitchell, and Stu Roosa to be launched into the sky there for Apollo 14. We're so stoked. This is awesome. Heavy cloud cover. So there it is. There's the flash. There's the Saturn V rising up into the sky. Saw it for about 15 seconds before it vanished forever into an overcast cloud layer. Ugh. Ugh.
You get to see a couple of them.
It was brutal. And I went for the trifecta. One after that, the final Saturn vehicle, the final Skylab mission in November of 73. Another beautiful day. But I just figured something out, Andy. National Astronaut Day, having just invoked Alan Shepard. Do you know why it's today?
Because today is the anniversary of his launch.
As the first American in space in May 5th, 1961, 60 years ago today. So why not make that National Astronaut Day? Anyway, the floor is yours.
So,
continue.
So I flash forward now. I'm 45 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've read all of the astronaut biographies from Mercury, the histories from Mercury, Gemini, Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
February 2003.
Oh, my.
Columbia disintegrates.
Mm-hmm.
That weekend, the following Sunday, minister of our church has a surprise for us. He tells us, he said, after that, I called NASA and I asked them if they could send somebody to come up and talk to the congregation
right.
and console us.
Wow.
So who did NASA send up? Alan Bean.
Oh, be still my heart.
Yep. So Bean comes. And he
let me help everybody out. Fort Worth's own Alan Bean walked on the moon, Apollo 12 with Pete Conrad, and a guest on this show probably 3-4 times until his passing a couple years ago. How awesome is that? Go ahead.
Right. So Captain Bean addresses congregation, tells us about the dangers of spaceflight.
Yep.
You know, the friends he lost in the Apollo 1 fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the near magnificent non-tragedy of Apollo 13 and the Challenger and Columbia disasters.
Of course.
And then afterwards, he goes down into the church basement, and he's going to do a meet and greet. And I get in line. I bring along my copy of his book, Apollo. You probably have it, you know, picture book of the history of Apollo based on all of his paintings. And I actually own a print of what I think is his most famous painting, the Straightening the Stripes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Battle of the Allen Bean paintings. Does Straightening the Stripes have to do with pulling the flag, that the wire, I mean, the Apollo 11 flag? Yeah. People say it looks like it's waving. It's not waving. Well, it's because it didn't really deploy properly. But I think it looks better because it kind of looks like it's waving in the vacuum of space. But what is Straightening the Stripes? I'll go Google it.
It is a depiction of Neil Armstrong smoothing out that waving flag on the moon. All right, so I get in line. And it's a mix of people, you know, my age. I'm 45, my age, little kids, grandparents, and I get up to Captain Bean. And he shakes my hand, and he signs my book, says to Andy, Allen Bean, Apollo 12, get a picture taken of him and me standing there.
So cool.
So I got a couple minutes to talk with this guy, and you think – I'm going to ask him, what's it like to be an astronaut?
Right,
and,
you know, right.
Flying in space, walking on the moon, spending those 2 months in Skylab.
Yeah, what'd you talk about?
He asked me if I wanted to ever be an astronaut. I said, oh, yeah, sure, I wanted to be an astronaut. But, you know, my parents, you know, encouraged me. He said, oh, tell me about your parents. We spent 5 minutes talking about our parents. He tells me how when he was involved with the Apollo program, he had no time for his parents, and when he completed his tour of duty with Apollo, he spent a lot of time with his mom and dad before they passed away.
So cool. So.
And he asked me about my parents, and my dad, who took us to see Apollo
16.
I'm going to get emotional now.
That's
13
okay.
Thirteen months later, that World War II vet who survived two sinkings of his ships in the North Atlantic died in a boating accident. And my mom and dad shaped my life, I told them. My mom at that time now was in her 70s and struggling with Alzheimer's. And, you know, it was, as I told the reporter afterwards, I can't believe I spent 5 minutes talking with Alan Bean.
I know.
About,
I mean, look,
our parent.
I mean,
and asked him nothing about.
No, but it's funny. But you did something so much more special because it's not like you would have predicted the answers. I mean, he could tell you about space, of course. But to find out it's still a pinch me thing. The folks I get to welcome to the show and talk to them about things that I've never asked anybody before about that, and find out the kind of heroes and the kind of people they are. All right, let me give you an Alan Bean painting back at you. Straightening our Stripes, the one I'm looking at, shows Neil Armstrong straightening out the flag, sort of correcting it from the somewhat crumply appearance that it actually had. So in that way, it's Alan Bean painting something that did not happen, but it's kind of cool to see it represented. Right. The painting I'm about to tell you about is another type of that. It is, I think it's called The Dream. Because Apollo 12, there you go. You have Pete Conrad and Alan Bean on the moon, and there's always one guy, Mike Collins. Speaking of Mike Collins, one guy left orbiting the moon, never gets to go to the moon, and that, of course, on Apollo 12 was astronaut Dick Gordon. What does The Dream depict?
Well, it shows all three of them standing side by side.
Yep.
On the moon.
On the surface of the moon, which is lovely. Of course, it would have meant they're stranded there forever unless we have a fourth guy.
I believe. And I'm looking at it right now with my copy of Bean's book, Apollo.
Yep.
That is the cover photo of Apollo.
Oh, dude, that's so good. All right, as a last, I can't thank you so much. I mean, Lord knows I can only, you know, beat up Liz Cheney for so much on the day. But I'm going to give you one final thing that Alan told me once. And because you mentioned his 2 months on Skylab, 56 days, we were, you know, the early days of space stations. And he was aboard Skylab for 56 days, unheard of, record-shattering mission in 1973 with Owen Garriott and Jack Lausma. And after 56, there ain't no laundry in Skylab. There's no laundry in the International Space Station. They, you know, they give you a lot of clothes and you pretty well, you know, burn them and send them out the airlock. So on like day 52, they're going through, they're wondering how much longer are we going to go on various things. The food's working out fine. Everything's great. And with sort of tongue in cheek, they got, you know, Capcom gets on with Al Bean and says, guys, we have got wonderful, wonderful news for you. Today is the day that you get to change underwear. And they said, oh, that is so fantastic. And Al, you change yours with Owen. Owen, you change yours with Jack. And Jack, you change yours with Al.
So, excellent.
Boom.
I have a challenge for you, Mark.
Surely.
If you can, and there's just a few of them left.
Yeah.
If you can get them on your show.
Oh, dude.
For an interview.
Oh, no, no. Fred Hayes, not long ago, I called Charlie Duke. On the occasion of Mike Collins's passing, these guys are all roughly 90, and it is an amazing, amazing opportunity that I've had. I'm kind of gonna. We've gone through. I mean, where are we? We're in 71. I guess we're gonna this summer. Dave Scott's still alive. Apollo 15 in July. Jim Irwin and Al Worden have passed, but why not, man? Because I think if you and I can wear people out for 10 minutes, I can certainly take it to the show, and I've been so glad to do so. And thank you, thank you, thank you, Andy. God bless. Appreciate it. And happy Astronaut Day. 9:50. Wish that I could live again beneath the painted sky. Beneath the Painted Sky, 1987. Tammy Wynette and Emmy Lou Harris. On what would have been Tammy's 79th birthday, she passed away back in 98. That's how. So this great record from her album Higher Ground will take us out. It's about going through hard times, and her dad painted a blue sky with clouds on the ceiling of her room so that no matter how tough times got, she could always go to sleep beneath a painted sky. Love it, love it, love it. The great Tammy Wynette. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland, at producer Rhonda K. on the Twitter, R-O-N-D-A capital K. Thanks, as always, to Mr. Matt for technical guru skills. News ace Gordon Griffin, top and bottom of each hour and always in our hearts. And we thank you for hanging out with us. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a fantastic day. It's going to be a beautiful day. Let's get out and enjoy it. Mike Gallagher next. See you in the morning at 7. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Be good.